3 months out from November midterms, and the internal Republican warning lights are starting to flash. AFP Action, the political arm of the Koch network, which has been broadly supportive of Republican candidates, published internal polling this weekend showing 1 in 5 core GOP base voters classified as at risk. The specific driver is the economy. Voters who reliably showed up for Republicans are reporting declining trust on bread and butter issues: grocery prices, housing costs, energy bills. The timing of Caroline Leavitt's comment makes more sense in that context. The White House press secretary acknowledged an affordability crisis and attributed it to Biden-era policies, but in doing so, she directly contradicted Trump's own framing that affordability, as a political concern, is a Democrat-invented term. That's not a minor inconsistency. It's a message discipline failure at the podium of the White House briefing room. When your own communications operation is running a different line than the principal, it usually means internal polling is forcing a course correction.
The Saudi nuclear deal fracture is worth slowing down on because it involves multiple intersecting concerns. The New York Times reported that Trump family members and allied business figures stand to profit directly from the proposed civil nuclear agreement with Saudi Arabia. Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, conservative, usually reliably in Trump's corner, is publicly opposing it. That's notable not just for the opposition itself, but for the explicit framing. Kennedy is voicing what the Times is surfacing, which is that the deal's structure creates personal financial flows back to people around the president.
Ambassador Waltz added a conditional layer Sunday that's getting less attention than it deserves. He said the Saudi nuclear deal, even though it's already been signed, will not be implemented until Saudi Arabia formally normalizes relations with Israel. That's the Abraham Accords condition. So the deal exists on paper, but it's essentially staged. Normalization first, nuclear cooperation second. Given that Iran is simultaneously threatening to widen the war if U.S. strikes resume, and Khamenei is conditioning peace on Israel ending Lebanon operations, asking Saudi Arabia to normalize with Israel right now is asking for something in a regional environment that makes it maximally difficult.
Bernie Sanders firing back at Rahm Emanuel over progressive primary wins is a thread that connects to the 1 in 5 GOP voter story in an important way. Sanders told reporters voters are sick and tired of Democratic establishment politics, and the primary results he's pointing to, progressive candidates winning in key races ahead of August, suggest the Democratic base is moving leftward, even as the party establishment tries to position toward the center for general election purposes. That internal Democratic tension mirrors the Republican fracture, and both parties are heading into November with coalition management problems that aren't fully resolved.
Seth Moulton making age the centerpiece of his primary challenge to Ed Markey is fascinating political positioning. Markey is 80. Moulton is essentially arguing that the Democratic Party's credibility on generational leadership requires it to field younger candidates. The irony of the moment is that this argument is being made inside the Democratic Party at the same time that the Koch network is warning Republicans they're losing younger and economically anxious voters. Both parties are having a version of the same conversation about whether their current leadership cohort maps to where the electorate actually is.
The Fauci diary story deserves a mention, though it requires some care. Diaries showing Dr. Fauci expressing concern about public profile and recognition during the pandemic have been reported as evidence of fame fixation. A more charitable reading is that a senior public health official navigating the most complex communications environment in modern American history was also thinking about credibility and platform, because credibility was the mechanism through which public health messaging worked. Whether you read those diaries as vanity or as professional awareness depends heavily on your prior disposition toward Fauci. But the story's persistence in the news cycle tells you something about how the COVID accountability narrative is being actively constructed and contested.
The ICE operation targeting Haitians as temporary protected status protections expire is both a legal and a humanitarian story. TPS for Haitian nationals was extended multiple times under successive administrations because of earthquake damage, political instability, and then the 2021 assassination of President Moïse. Ending those protections and moving immediately to arrest operations is a policy choice with direct human consequences for a community of people who have been in the United States legally, some for years. The FBI simultaneously capturing an alleged $32 million COVID fraud fugitive in Jamaica is a reminder that enforcement priorities, even within a single week, can be simultaneous and vastly different in their targets and implications.